The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, this is Stephen Hines, author of Zombie Fabulous, Rebirth Defect, and Valedictorian USA. And you, my friends, are getting your skulls crushed by the pile driver of John Orlando with his PBD cast in your face.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 311, which, if I didn't worry about copyright infringement and getting in trouble, I'd probably play something from the band 311, maybe my favorite song of theirs, Creatures, for a while. But nonetheless, I hope you're doing well out there, and thank you for checking out this episode of the PBD cast, and I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. I know I took a week off to kind of relax and recharge the batteries, and I'm back in the saddle, and I'm ready to put out another great episode. This episode is going to be the Survivor Series review show, and I know it's a couple weeks late because the Survivor Series was, you know, right before Thanksgiving, but due to the holidays and whatnot, that's why there was such a delay. But nonetheless, you're going to find out who had the best predictions from our preview show. And of course, when I'm saying who, I'm referring to myself, DJ Joey Blaze, and Ringside Rand. Although there's a small footnote. As I will mention at the beginning of the episode, to be completely transparent, a couple of hours prior to recording, DJ Joey Blaze contacted me and said, "Hey man, listen, I'm not feeling good. I don't know what's going on. I'm just feeling really sick. I don't think I want to participate live or by remote. I'm just feeling pretty lousy." Number one, I hope, Joey, you're feeling better, man. Because it sucks to be sick, and it sucks to be sick nowadays, because automatically I think people get really, really anxious that could this be COVID, you know? Because, I mean, we got a new variant maybe in the United States. So, you know, Joey, we did miss you on this episode, but Ringside Rand and myself will be holding it down, giving you all of the results and our opinions on the matches and the possible storylines, and we even got a little bit of news to cover as well. I hope that the fact that DJ Joey Blaze couldn't join us doesn't deter you from listening to this episode. So before we get into it, I need to let you know about a great sponsor, and of course, I'm talking about everybody's favorite comic book shop, World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, and they got tons of comics from every era, whether you're talking about the gold, silver, bronze, or modern era. But they also have graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, collectibles, posters, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. They got a friendly staff, a clean store, I mean, a pool system that's top-notch. It is easily a five-star comic book store, and if you're looking for a comic book store to call your own and you live in Central Ohio, stop by the store, talk to Jeff and the fine folks at World's Greatest. But maybe you're just curious about the store and you live outside the area. Well, you can check them out online. Simply go to wgcomics.com, or you can find them on Facebook. Just search for at WG Comics. And with that little bit of business out of the way, let's throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'm joined by one half of the pro wrestling pundits, Ringside Rand, as he and I are going to talk about the Survivor Series. All right, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It is time to review and talk about the Survivor Series, the last big WWE pay-per-view that just went down a few weeks ago. I am joined, of course, by Ringside Rand. How are you, Rand?
Oh, life is good here. I got to tell you, there's been a lot of improvements here at the Orlando Media Complex. You got rid of valet parking, but I was really surprised you have a bathroom attendant.
Well, you know, I'm trying to get the staff back on payroll here. It's been a lean few years here so far at Casa de la Orlando. You know, all joking aside, we are without DJ Joey Blaze. Want to say, I hope you feel better, man. In true transparency, he called me a few hours ago and said, man, I'm not feeling good. I feel like I'm getting sick, and I don't want to put anybody at risk. And, you know, I think that's something that you have to think about nowadays when somebody says they don't feel good, that you unfortunately still have to think about this idea of that it could be something related to the pandemic. Hopefully it's not. Hopefully, Joey, you start feeling better. And we do miss you, man. We wish you were here. We're still going to talk about your predictions as well as Rand, yours and mine well. So let's start things off real quick. Overall, what did you think of the Survivor Series?
There were a lot of taped vignettes of The Rock, the celebration of The Rock. This is the anniversary of The Rock. And I think originally he was planning on being there, but for whatever reason, he wasn't there.
Well, I actually read up that apparently he's over in Europe doing a movie, and he didn't want to leave due to the COVID restrictions over there. But then also I had read another report that had stated that he had originally told them a long time ago, I know it's the 25th anniversary, I'm doing this movie, I'm not going to be there. And they just went ahead and continued to advertise him. It was kind of bizarre.
I kept waiting for him, and I think he was promoting a movie called The Red Notice.
Yeah, they were promoting a movie called Red Notice, correct, which is on Netflix right now.
So instead of The Rock making an appearance, we get this storyline about the Cleopatra egg.
Oh, God. You know what? We're getting off a beaten path here real quick. Let's pull it back on the rail, so to speak. So overall, if you were rating this this event, this pay-per-view, how many body slams would you give it? Would you give it 5 body slams for a really awesome pay-per-view down to 1 body slam for a pretty lousy pay-per-view?
I give it 3 out of 5, but when it's supposed to be one of the big ones of the year, that's a below average score.
And I'm right with you. I gave it a 3 out of 5. I will tell you this. I was impressed for as haphazardly as it was thrown together. It actually was an entertaining pay-per-view. I got to give credit where credit is due. I wasn't looking forward to it, but it did keep me entertained. And as we'll run down the list of the winners and losers and whatnot, you know, you'll see that I rated it pretty decently. So
yeah, but Survivor Series should be at least a 4 or 5.
Absolutely. I'm absolutely in agreement with you. This is one of the big fours. And yeah, this should be certainly a 4 or 5. So let's talk about the Cleopatra egg, since we're going to jump ahead a little bit here before we get into the matches here. There was this backstage promo where Vince is with Roman, and he had shown up earlier in the night. Excuse me. That actually happened first. My bad. There was this shot in the back where a car pulls up and Vince comes out, and all these people are cheering him, all the talent and whatnot, and he has this thing, which I had no idea what it was. I was like, it's a golden football? What the hell is this?
I thought it was a Fabergé egg.
Yeah, well, at least you were a little more you were a little more on target with that. So then we go to this backstage vignette where Vince is telling Roman all about the $100 million Cleopatra egg.
With no security guards.
No security guards. It's the real deal, he swears. It's not a prop. And it was given to him by Roman's cousin, The Rock.
They're cousins?
Yeah.
Oh.
You didn't catch that the 400 times that they said it?
Yes, I'm familiar with the family tree, head of the table, and all that other Thanksgiving tie-ins.
Yeah, exactly. See, I thought for certain, and you know, we're going to go ahead and jump ahead to the end of the, towards the end of the pay-per-view. There's another backstage vignette where Adam Pearce, Sonya Deville are sitting in there in the office of Vince McMahon, and Vince comes in, and what do you know? The egg is missing.
Uh-oh. Hijinks ensue.
So Vince demands that Sonya and Adam find out who stole his Cleopatra egg,
And
if Frank Drebin had still been alive.
Oh, man, if only.
Back from the days of the Survivor Series, excuse me, SummerSlam with the Underfaker.
Oh, man.
He would have gotten to the bottom. Frank Drebin played by?
Leslie Nielsen, of course. Yeah. Here's my thing. I don't think that they've done much more with it other than I know the following Raw that Adam Pearce had a little skit where he was going around trying to find who did it and had to report to Vince.
We found out who did it.
Austin Theory?
Yes.
Austin Theory.
So okay. He could take selfies with it.
Which is a waste of this silly storyline. Let's be honest. It should be that Roman took it, smashed the hell out of it, and is pissed because, you know, like his cousin is one-upping him with the boss. And that would be a great way you sow the seeds right now for WrestleMania, Rock versus Roman. What do you think?
That's a reasonable idea. I was thinking the Repo Man would come around somehow. And if not the Repo Man, maybe IRS, because you have to pay taxes.
You do. You have to pay taxes on those prizes. You know, if you're on Wheel of Fortune, you win a bunch of stuff. You got to pay the taxes on it. All right, let's go to the pre-show. Our pre-show match was the champion versus champion, Shinsuke Nakamura versus Damian Priest. I'll go ahead first to give my thoughts. At the beginning, there seemed to be that they were not on the same page. There seemed to be kind of few snafus, botches, misses. But it kind of got a little bit better. I love Pat McAfee in this match.
Oh, yeah.
His outrage was awesome. Highly entertaining. Really dug it. As I kind of predicted, Nakamura wins by disqualification because of boobs getting involved. I gave it 4 body slams. I thought it was a pretty solid match and probably should have been on the main card.
I think originally it was, but then maybe when they put that 25-person...
Yeah, we'll talk about that cluster in a minute. Yeah.
I'm really liking Damian Priest. I like the way he was interacting with the guitar player. Yeah. He went out, attacked the...
Yeah, boobs.
Broke the guitar.
Yeah.
He actually got disqualified.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the fact that somebody's annoyed by this stupid guitar.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was very well done.
Those are two really good wrestlers.
Yeah. I mean, look, I remember seeing Damian Priest in Ring of Honor, and I was not very impressed with him. He looked very, very robotic, very tight. He didn't seem comfortable in his own skin, so to speak. And he has blossomed as Damian Priest. I think that he certainly has the tools to be an upper mid-card guy for years.
Well, for how many years ago was that?
Well, that's true. We're going back 3-4 years, maybe 5
substantial
years.
Substantial improvement, yeah. 3 or 4 years.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So,
now, I do think Pat McAfee, for as short as he's been there, is doing a great job.
Oh, he is absolutely fantastic on color commentary. I feel like he not only is entertaining, but he also brings a seriousness to it. I like him. Pat McAfee, I hope he never leaves the commentary booth. Okay, just for historical record, Rand, you and Joey had picked Damian Priest while I had picked Nakamura. So let's move on to our next match, Charlotte versus Becky. What do you think, Rand, on this match?
This is one of the most intense women matches I've ever seen. We keep hearing, and you don't know what dirt sheets are true and which ones aren't,
right?
But there's actual bad blood between the two.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like it. These two went at it, the slapping, the hitting. There was a lot of great action here. I think so highly of Charlotte Flair. Big Bex was right there with her. I think this was probably – this is one of the best women's matches I've seen in a long time.
I agree. I wrote down that it was a very hard hitting. Yes, there were some mistakes, but in the context of the fact that you are trying to beat the snot out of somebody, because it looked like a fight.
It looked more like a fight than it did a wrestling match.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bad
so,
blood. It looked real.
My only gripe, I felt like it went a little long. I felt like they could have trimmed a few minutes off of it and still had a fantastic match. Just think, it started to wane a little bit towards the middle. I think they should have just kind of wrapped it up a little bit earlier. What was your rating, by the way?
I gave it 4.5 out of 5.
Wow, I gave it 4 body slams as well. I thought it was really solid. Becky Lynch wins with the roll up with the ropes, which I like that. That's a dirty finish.
Oh, that was a nice twist.
Yeah, that was really well done. So kudos to Charlotte and Becky. for number one, obviously making us believe that these two hate each other and for doing a great job. But now, I guess the question that we're going to ask is, where do we go with these two? Because now Becky is involved in a feud with Liv Morgan. So what do you think, Rand?
They're on separate shows.
And they're on separate shows, too.
Probably won't see each other until the Rumble.
Okay, correct. Sure. But do they do anything with this, or is this just the one and done?
I don't think it goes away. I think it's going to simmer in the background.
Okay.
They're going to see each other from time to time on pay-per-views.
So you're saying, hey, we need a good pay-per-view match. Let's dust off Charlotte and Becky again. Put them back out there.
How long have these two been going at it?
They've been going at it for a while. So I laugh and snicker, but it's probably true. That's exactly probably what's going to happen. Okay, we're going to go to the men's Survivor Series match. Man, oh man, there is a lot to unpack on this. I'm going to start off. I liked at first that Kevin Owens says screw it and he takes the walk and he takes the count.
It continues the story. It makes sense. You're not sure. You're interested. You want to see how it turns out.
I agree. But then to turn around and do another double count out where you had Lashley and McIntyre get counted out, I'm like, so you've taken all the piss out of the first count out. Like, it doesn't mean anything that Kevin Owens walked, or at least in my mind, maybe I'm wrong. You can tell me what you think, but I think that was not a smart booking.
I think because they were for different reasons, it holds up.
Okay. All right. Indeed, yes. Lashley and Drew were continuing to tee off on one another. Sheamus attacks his own partner in Jeff Hardy, which I kind of thought was really out of the blue.
I'm still amazed at how over Jeff Hardy is.
You know what? You say that, and you're absolutely correct. He is still very over for as long as he has been doing this.
All the ups and downs of his career, back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
Time off, time in.
Yeah.
He's still way over.
Still is. Sheamus, not so much. I don't know.
I think there's a weak build on this because it's Survivor Series matches thrown together.
Yeah.
But I think it was a really good match, even though it had virtually no story
going on. Well, and real quickly, I'm just going to throw it out there again. I'm tired of Sheamus. I've said it before on this podcast. Send him to NXT to work with some new guys. Do something fresh with him. I'm over him. Anyways, I am going to disagree with you, Rand. I felt like this was way too long. There didn't seem to be any urgency to it because, as you mentioned, it's slapped together. I gave it two body slams with Seth Rollins, by the way, being the sole survivor. So that would be Team Raw. So if we look here.
Do you think it went longer because there were so few matches on the show?
I think so. Yeah, I think that, but yet we still had so many backstage interviews and we had so many, you know, commercials, flat out commercials on Peacock. I was like, look, I know what you have. I know you have Dr. Death. I know you have, you know, The Office and all these other programs. Skip it. Let's get to it. Let's get to it. Because the pay-per-view didn't end until 11:30.
Started at 8. It's 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
Public school math.
As we look at, for historical purposes, on the record, Joey had SmackDown winning the men's Survivor Series. You had Raw, and I also had SmackDown. So there we go.
Excuse me for a minute. Ding, 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 ding.
And let's see here real quick. We didn't look at who I'm on my other page of notes here. Joey had Charlotte winning. You had Becky winning. And I had Becky winning as well.
Once again, ding, 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 ding.
So there you have it. All right. So now to a match that we didn't know was happening. And so we didn't have any predictions for it. But there was a 25-man battle royal, basically with everybody that's not booked on the show. Let's just say it that way.
Spare parts.
Overall, though, I will say this. I actually thought this was pretty good for a battle royal, Rand.
As good as a 25-person battle royal can be. Because that's crowded.
It is. And you know, going to break kayfabe a little bit. Most folks do not like participating in a battle royal because there's very little room. You can't really do anything except for punch, kick, choke, and tease getting thrown over the top rope. A lot of wrestlers not a big fan of the battle royals. But with that being said, I think the fact that Omos won is really good. I think that that's a great way to spotlight him. I think they showcase some of the other larger gentlemen as well. Aziz, and who was the other one that I thought that came out looking really good that was a larger individual?
Shanky?
Because he lasted kind of longer. Yeah. Yeah. So I think those folks...
Look, typically, these are the battles where the bigger guys do well.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
And yet, you would think, and here's my dollar for logic, you would think 5 or 6 medium-sized guys would attack and try to push one of the big guys over.
Well, that's always usually how it goes, and has always been that way. But, it didn't seem to work out for some of those more medium-sized guys. I'll tell you what, I was surprised that Shelton Benjamin was in the Battle Royal, because there were some names I'm like, I didn't even know you were still around, man.
I can't believe they're screwing up the Hurt Business again.
Well, you know what? And you know what? Real quickly, talking about Shelton Benjamin, I was surprised to see him on Raw with Cedric Alexander last night. I mean...
You know, with all the people that they've let loose, it's hard to keep track.
It is. It absolutely is. You are not, you're 100% on point on that one. It is, because you think, that person's gone. No, actually, they just haven't been used on TV in forever. You know what I mean?
Now, Omos winning was not really a surprise, but I was wrong, because I thought him winning might be the starting of breaking up of that tag team.
Right.
But it isn't.
It didn't, because they were on Raw the following night. And so I believe they were on Raw the following night. So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting to see what they do with him. I got to be honest with you. I wasn't a fan at the beginning, but the more that they use him correctly as a giant unstoppable monster, I'm digging it.
They haven't made him look bad yet.
No, they haven't.
He's got training wheels on.
Yeah, and you know what? That's a smart way to use him.
Yeah.
Pair him up with AJ Styles, who can clearly do a lot of the workload, tag him in, and he just goes in and destroys guys. I'm totally with it.
He is impressively large.
Very much so.
He walked past me at the pay-per-view. I was in, because I am Front Row Rand. He walked past me, and I'm telling you, there was an eclipse, because I didn't see anything else.
So he's everything that they bill him as.
Oh, cheesy peasy.
Well, since we're talking about tag teams, up next we have the champion for champion. You have RK-Bro taking on the Usos. Ran, go ahead. What do you think about this matchup?
Randy Orton has the highest number of pay-per-view matches now.
That kind of blew me away. But then, he's been pretty lucky and not been injured.
No serious injuries, long time. He's always been interesting, even going back to the Evolution days, the RNN updates about the injuries. He's always been interesting. He's a good character. But I'm telling you, coming out of this match, I'm really starting to appreciate just how good the Usos are.
Yeah, I mean, they are very good, no doubt about it. I mean, they are one of the top teams, of recent history. I gave this 3 body slams, because I thought that, even though, again, the length, I would have liked it to be tightened up a little bit. I feel that the length was a little long. The RKO out of nowhere for the win, that was well done, very well done. The Usos are obviously a top team, and RK-Bro is growing on me, too.
I didn't think it'd last as a team this long.
I didn't either, but I think, as we talked about in the preview, I'm sure that that it's coming. It's coming to turn, and probably we're looking at another big pay-per-view where those two will face off, Orton and Riddle.
Could they be the last two in the Royal Rumble?
That would be kind of interesting. That would be cool, especially if they give it to Matt Riddle. Look, the guy's got, he's got the charisma. Granted, he's got a stupid character right now. Like, he's, I wish that they would tone that down a little bit. But he's got the charisma. The fans seem to interact with him really well. He's got the skills. He's got that MMA background. Well, let's look here. Rand, you and Joey had picked the Usos to win. I picked RK-Bro. So that gives me, actually, this is shocking. That actually gives me 3 correct predictions. I don't think it's happened in a very long time. I'm not going to brag. I'm not going to boast.
Okay.
All right. Hold on. Stuart, get the champagne on ice, please. Anyways, for my eventual victory. No, I'm kidding. Anyways, Let's go into the Women's Survivor Series matchup. I think this was the worst match on the show. Even with that said, I did give it two body slams.
Okay, same here. I think it was fairly predictable that Bianca would battle back from down 4-1.
Yeah, and I just was bored with it. There was just no, again, no sense of urgency, no drama. Again, yes, it was predictable. Sasha, I believe, also took a count out too. And I was like, that's three count outs in a pay-per-view. Come on, man. Overkill.
Is that protecting people from losing?
Well, I think you could figure out a way, you know, that we could creatively book this so people still look strong.
Yeah.
It's funny, though. It's real funny. And the two, at least on my scorecard, the two lowest rated matches are the Survivor Series matches.
Sure. I can see that. They have less storyline and more people. It's almost more complicated than it needs to be.
Yeah.
Because there's so many potential matchups.
Right. I just wish they, and I know we lamented about it before, I just wish they would go back to the old school way of doing it. You got four baby faces that have issues with the four heels, and it doesn't matter. Brand supremacy doesn't matter. It's settling scores. I don't know. I just really honestly want them to kind of go back to doing it the old school way.
Typically, when there's matches from Raw versus SmackDown, it seems like 75% of the time Raw wins.
Well, it's the flagship, supposedly.
It's a three-hour show.
Yeah.
But I think 2 hours of Fox on Friday nights is more compact and more eventful.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
So there's advantages to both.
I don't know, man. I just, you know, Raw has been a chore to watch for quite a while. So hopefully we get out of that. What was not a chore to watch, by the way, was our main event. Big E taking on Roman Reigns.
Despite the fact there's no real consequences, overall, this was a really good match. Oh. Both guys looked good.
Mm-hmm.
Roman's just a great heel. Big E is the guy you want to root for because he's paid his dues. He's worked his way up. You get behind him. It was a great match.
And he's got that charisma. Oh, yeah. You know, he's entertaining his own get out. He does a pretty damn good promo, you know, in the lead up to this match. His promos were pretty rock solid. Yeah, I agree with you. Overall, heads and tails, this was the best match. I think this was the best match on the show.
I can see that.
Yeah, I think that it was the best. And I gave it four body slams.
I gave it three and three quarters.
Okay. So, I mean, overall, this year's Survivor Series was, you know, despite what we thought was going to be a snooze fest, turned out to be okay. By the way, I'm sorry, I did not go back to my other list of notes, but it doesn't matter because we all chose Roman Reigns to win. So we all knew that that was probably going to happen. And, oh, I don't know if we discussed, by the way, who picked what for the Women's Survivor Series. I think we all picked Team Raw again. So that gives me five correct predictions. Wow. Folks, this is a...
Jameson, bring out the champagne.
This is a monumental event because I don't think I've had that many correct predictions in quite a while.
Chicken nuggets for everybody.
This is not a Columbus Blue Jackets a game.
Oh. Chili. That's Bob, right. Evans chilling.
Have you ever won one of those?
I've never cashed them in.
Really?
I've caught pizza boxes. I've caught T-shirts. But I've never cashed in a... Seemed to me 1 year as Roosters.
Yeah, I think Roosters was a sponsor 1 year. Yeah, yeah.
Bob Evans, I've never cashed one in.
I've never gotten one. I've never received one ever, so...
I took a pizza box.
You took one? What'd you do, push a kid down and take it?
Pretty much out of a guy's hand.
Oh, so it was when they were throwing it up in the stands.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. See, I've never had the luck. Never had the luck, man. All right, before we talk about a little extra wrestling news, Rand, I got to stop for a moment and tell everybody about the great sponsor. That is, of course, World's Greatest Comics. They've got tons of stuff for your comic book fandom. I mean, from single issues to graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, collectibles, posters, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. So you need to stop over to the store and say hi to Jeff and the other fine folks at World's Greatest. and they're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. But if you want to check out the store and you're not in Central Ohio, all you got to do is go over to WGComics.com, or you can check them out on Facebook. Just search for at WG Comics. And if you can give your patronage to World's Greatest Comics, please do so, because I really do appreciate them being an awesome sponsor for the last several years. So, Rand, do you have some extra wrestling news that you'd like to talk about here?
You know, the whole show, I kept waiting for either The Rock to show up, because you didn't know. There's so much hype to it. But I was also waiting for Brock Lesnar to show up.
Again, yes, another guy that we thought, that we predicted might show up and have a hand in the ending of the main event. And, well, isn't he, he's returning to SmackDown, if I'm not mistaken.
The suspension is over?
The suspension apparently is
over. So it's kind of a letdown where you think, here's somebody coming back at a big show.
Right, yeah.
Would have made a big splash.
Yeah, definitely.
Kind of a letdown on that part.
I agree. I will go and kind of make a really probably horrible transition here. But, you know, one person that will not be making a big return at a big show, Nia Jax. She recently did an interview where she explained that she thinks that it will be, quote, highly unlikely, unquote, that she returns to the wrestling ring. She's not fielding offers from AEW or other organizations. She apparently has some other things that she is going to pursue.
I think her ability is overshadowed by the people that she's injured. And she has a bad reputation.
Wait, so you would think that would stop Tony Khan from signing her?
I think it might stop other wrestlers from wanting him to sign her.
Okay. Okay. You think that there's be somebody in Tony's ear going, I don't know about this one.
I don't want to work with somebody who injures. And yet Tamina's still on the roster.
You know, that's the biggest surprise. Going back to what we talked about a little bit ago, people getting cut. Like, how is she stuck around for as long as she has?
Frequently injured.
Frequently injured, yes.
Can't cut a promo.
No. Not really that good in the ring, sorry to say.
And yet she's still there.
I don't know.
Not an interesting character.
No.
What would it take to make her interesting? Could you put her in a tag team with somebody?
Yeah, they should have put her in a tag team with Nia Jax. Then they could have played up that whole, you know, lineage, you know, Snookas and the Samoans, and they could have done that. And then you could have also had Tamina do most of the work, and then have, just like AJ and Omos.
Yeah.
Just do the exact same thing with them.
Bring him in as a closer.
Yeah. Bring him in as a closer, and there you go. Well, this I saw, and I needed to get your 2 cents worth. It has just been announced that Jeff Jarrett has joined the ownership.
Excuse me. Is that JEFFJARRETT?
That is correct. That's exactly what I'm referring to, Brandon.
Because this podcast doesn't come with subtitles.
That's right. Listen up, slap nuts. Anyways.
Choke on that, slap nuts. Hello, 1987.
Jeff Jarrett has joined an ownership group of the Springfield Sliders, a baseball team that's in the Prospect League. And he's working with them to kind of utilize the ballpark to the best of their abilities. Okay, so he will be not super involved on the baseball side of things, but when baseball's not going on, he plans on having concerts, he plans on bringing in the circus, and of course, pro wrestling.
Any idea which organizations?
I don't know. That's a very good question.
Where is the city?
I believe it's Springfield, Illinois. Which, real quickly, just because you have a background in baseball, what's the Prospect League?
It's really low.
Is it low on the totem pole? Okay. Yeah. It's where rookies go?
Yeah. There's rookie or prospects.
Okay.
Then you go to A, AA, AAA, and if you're really good.
The majors.
Oh, yeah.
So these are, when you say prospect, these are like high school kids that maybe got a contract with the Oakland Athletics for a minute.
Typically, guys who played a year or two of college ball.
Okay.
Or very few guys out of high school. I went, instead of extended spring training, because I graduated in June.
Okay.
I went to Bluefield, West Virginia, because they needed a catcher who was injured. So I was lucky enough, I went up half a rung.
Okay.
There was a guy injured. I took over and went from there.
Okay, this is totally deviating fans from the topic at hand. How far up did you go in the minors?
I went to AAA.
You went to AAA? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
If there had been some injuries for the Baltimore Orioles, I would have been up.
Okay. All right.
One thing about minor league baseball, and it kind of ties back in with Jeff Jarrett, there's all kinds of entertainment after the games. They will have bands on flatbed trucks they will pull out onto the infield.
Mm-hmm.
They will have, I've seen boxing matches.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Paul Revere and the Raiders three times in a month. I sat on the stage the last week with him.
No, was that a pleasant experience or not a pleasant experience?
I loved
them. Okay, all right. They were my guys. Okay, all right, okay. All right.
All kinds of entertainment.
Okay.
You will have marginal celebrities making appearances.
You mean like, say, like the guy that played...
Mr. Belding?
Yeah, Mr. Belding, exactly. I was just going to say that.
That's why I said marginal celebrities.
Okay.
They will walk around, sign autographs, and take pictures.
Okay. You know, I actually went to a wrestling show at the old Cooper Stadium here in town. It was after a Clippers game. It was HWA wrestling.
Oh, Heartland.
So, yeah, Heartland.
Les Thornton?
Les Thatcher. Yeah, Les Thatcher's promotion.
And there's been a lot of big people go through that organization.
There has. There absolutely has. A ton. And I remember watching it. And I was like, oh, this is kind of cool, you know. And I mean, we specifically went to watch the wrestling.
Did they have it on a truck or how'd they put it out in the field?
Very good question. They brought it out and it was right on home plate. Like the ring was over top of home plate.
Okay.
And so then they came out from the dugouts.
Okay.
So.
How did they assemble it or did it come in assembled?
They assembled it there on the spot.
Really?
Yeah.
How long did that take? 20 minutes? 30 minutes?
Yeah, it took a while. It took a while. Yeah. Okay. So. All right. Anyways, enough baseball talk. So Jeff's going to be involved in that. I will say this. If you haven't checked out My World, his podcast, it is fascinating, especially the episodes that have to deal with starting TNA, because it's just really, really interesting, and I learned lots of things I did not know.
Oh, they had a completely different business idea.
Oh, completely different business model. Oh, yeah. The weekly pay-per-view thing was like revolutionary at the time.
Wednesday night, 2 hours?
Wednesday night, 2 hours, 8 to 10.
Who's the country singer? Trace Adkins?
No, it was Toby Keith.
Toby Keith, okay.
Toby Keith, yes.
Came out during the first match and threw people aside.
Yep, yep.
They also had two cages up on the side of the stage. Yeah. They had TNA dancers.
Oh, yeah. Jeff covers all of that in those episodes talking about TNA. I highly recommend it. I'm sure most listeners already have checked it out. But if you haven't, My World, the Jeff Jarrett podcast with Conrad Thompson, fantastic stuff.
Does he talk about... when his contract was up and he was still the IC champion?
He does. I believe that's episode number one. I believe
that's one of the most fascinating behind the scenes stories.
Yes. I have not listened to that one. I just jumped in because I think it's like 6, 7, and 8 is the TNA episodes, and then 12, because they skip and they do a few other ones, and then they go back. 12 is where you find out that one of the people that was working with the Jarretts kind of screwed them over. So, and that's a fascinating
show. So there's a shady businessman in the wrestling industry.
I know. Shocking. I know.
Was it Irving R. Scheister?
No, it was not. Any other notes that you got there, Rand?
It's away from WWE, but right now AEW is doing a great job. Wrestling action is wrestling action, but some of the promos being cut on AEW, they actually gave MJF and CM Punk 15 minutes.
Yeah. And
it was worth it.
Oh, it was well done. Well done. And then the previous one with Punk and Eddie Kingston was fantastic. I mean, the problem that I have is that Kingston and Punk was fantastic. They had their match. Why is it not a feud? Why is it one and done and now we're moving on to MJF and CM Punk?
Is it because they have a limited time for Punk and they want to put as many people with him as possible?
I mean, that's possible, but
why not build things?
Yeah, that's my big gripe.
Because there was some serious action between him and Kingston.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it looked like a fight. You know, and that's the one thing I do admire about Eddie Kingston is, and you know, he wrote an article, you know, about his real life struggles, you know, with various different avenues, you know, in his life, including wrestling. And I read it and I'm like, see, this is why I like Eddie Kingston because I believe, I mean, it's real. He's real. He's just being himself turned up to 11. And how many times have we heard that? We've heard that a million times. That's what you got to be in the wrestling biz.
Tyus, you used to be the Funkodactyls.
Oh, yeah.
Brodus Clay,
yes, right.
Interesting stories behind him, too. The way he grew up, how he struggled, and how he made it.
Mm-hmm.
Great stories if you ever see him. And he sits in a couple nights a week on...
Greg Gutfield?
Gutfield, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And you believe the guy.
Mm-hmm.
What he says, coming from his experience, comes through. He's a great communicator.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to throw it out there too, real quick. You mentioned AEW. I'm going to throw it out there because I haven't kept up with MLW as much as I like, but I did check out their Thanksgiving show, which aired on their YouTube channel. It was called Thanksgiving Fusion. And, you know, I watched their Vice special a couple of weeks ago as well, where they put the belt on Hammerstone. I got to be honest, I thought there was some really great action in MLW. I really hope that they start getting more of a spotlight because they have some great talent in that company.
Who do you think the fans should be looking for?
Man, I've been a fan of Contra Unit. I just dig that. It's kind of cheesy. It's kind of hokey, but I like it, man. You know, Jacob Fatu, Joseph Samuel. I can't remember who the Japanese dude is. It's with them. Simon Grimm was with them for a while. I really dig that stable. Of course, I'm a mark for the Von Erich boys. You know, Marshall and Ross. I think that they're very, very talented. And you know what? A guy that actually a few months ago I worked a show with, Alex Kane, the Suplex Assassin. That guy's got it. I mean, he's got a attitude. He's got a build on him. He's got I said attitude, but I meant personality. He's got it all. And I think that, you know, he right now is their open weight champion. And I think that big things are coming down the pike for Alex Kane. But yeah, ultimately, I think MLW is a product that you should check out if you're a wrestling fan. I mean, they just put one of their belts on Tajiri.
Really?
Yeah, he won their middleweight championship, which is kind of like their cruiserweight title. He won a couple times and then went and defended it in All Japan.
Hmm.
So old Tajiri, he still got it.
You mentioned Vice.
Yes.
That reminds me of the Vice Channel, which has that great series.
Dark Side of the Ring.
I have not been disappointed by any of the episodes.
There's been two that I've been disappointed with, but they still were good.
Yeah.
But there were two that I was kind of disappointed in. I thought the Jimmy Snuka one was not 100% accurate.
Yeah, that would be the weakest.
Yeah, because they kind of overlooked some things. I'm like, you know, he came back to the WWF in 91. You totally didn't mention that. I also did not much care for the Collision in Korea episode because it seemed like it was so out. Like, I wanted a chronological order of events,
right,
and that didn't happen. And it was kind of like, to me, it was all over the place. And
they told the story unorganized.
Yeah.
Yeah. If that stuff's true, that's so strange.
It is. It is very strange.
I found the best way to watch those. I don't get the Vice Channel on my cable. Is dailymotion.com.
Really?
Yeah.
They upload them?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Because sometimes on YouTube,
yeah, there's sometimes
the sound doesn't work.
Yeah, sometimes they're on...
out of sync.
Yeah, I agree. And sometimes they have episodes and sometimes they don't. Then you have to wait forever and then they finally show up. Yeah, it's kind of a pain in the neck.
I think that's been a great series.
It has been. Absolutely. All right, with that then, Rand, let's go ahead and start wrapping things up here. So you want to plug anything? Twitter, website, anything?
I'm getting my booster shot Thursday.
All right. Are you still going to be collecting donations for the Salvation Army?
I will be this Friday and each of the Fridays until Christmas.
Okay.
So various retail outlets. If you don't have a dollar bill or anything in your pocket, coins work.
And just ask if he's Ringside Rand. And if you get the wrong guy, it'll make for a fun few seconds of your life, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you go around to enough stores and ask enough people out front, you might run into Rand.
Throw a couple of coins and I'll let you ring the bell.
Are you allowed to do that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Kids love it.
Okay. Well, I didn't know.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Anything else you want to plug real quick?
Twitter at Rand Dipmar, and DJ Joey, hurry up and get well soon.
Yes, man. Again, DJ Joey Blaze, hope you're feeling better, man. I'm sorry that you missed it. We missed you here, and so did all of the staff at Casadilla Orlando.
The girls were looking for Joey.
That's right. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, Ringside Rand and yours truly, dissecting the Survivor Series and talking about some other topics such as baseball and Nia Jax and Jeff Jarrett and MLW and a whole host of other topics. So I hope that you enjoyed the episode, and maybe you want to let me know whether you enjoyed it or you didn't enjoy it. Let me tell you how you can get in touch with me to express your opinion on this episode, or any episode for that matter. Well, you can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is at PVDMVP. You can leave me a message over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds. Just look for at PVDcast. And of course, you can shoot me an email. JohnOrlando@PVDcast.com is my email address. Maybe you'd like to tell a few folks about the PVDcast. Well, tell them they can get it at PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly. It's probably the easiest place to get it, but it's also available through all of those other major podcasting platforms. All you have to do is search for PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should be able to find it. And once you listen to an episode, and I cannot express how important this is, once you listen to an episode, please rate and review. It helps me out on the charts. It helps me out in the algorithm. It's super important for all of these podcasting apps. So if you can, please just give me a quick review. Maybe just type the word awesome, all right? And give me a 5-star, or I don't know what other podcasting apps have. Maybe they have 10 stars. Whatever the max is, I would really appreciate if you could give me the max. And of course, you don't want to forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. But you know what? I also want to let you know that there's another way that you can hear this fantastic podcast, and that is through the Facebook page. Once again, it's at PVDcast, where every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a Facebook broadcast of the week's current episode, and I hang out and answer questions and field comments and whatnot. So it's great fun. You definitely want to check it out. Once again, that's every Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, through the Facebook page of the PVDcast. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to wrap things up. Thanks once again for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Production of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2021.